shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. They cannot, they will not, and they shan't not. Anyway, welcome to the program. We're also online at philhendryshow.com with a video cast of our show every night, Phil TV in HD. And I sit here before the very beautiful roiling surf of the El Pacific, although tonight it looks nice and calm out there, and you can see the twinkling lights of one of the oil rigs out in the Santa Barbara Channel. Also, a reminder, if you're a Backstage Pass member, to get in your vote for the best Bobby Dooley bit of all time. The best of Bobby Dooley will be available in our shop as a download very, very soon. And if you'd like to get a free year of Backstage Pass access to philhendryshow.com, you can hashtag BSP, Backstage Pass, hashtag that at twitter.com/philhendryshow. Or like us at Facebook. That's facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS, and like the page, and you enter the running. The Milwaukee Lions podcasts will continue with a whole new group of archive podcasts from the 1990 season starting this Sunday, right, Bud?
Yeah, Sunday at Utah Beaver Dome.
At the Beaver Dome, and that will be airing live here. Although it's in 1990, it's kind of an alternate universe thing, so I can't explain it.
Yeah, a lot of people ask about it. Is it going to be live even in 1990?
Yes, even if it's 1990, it is live. And anyway, so that'll be noon on Sunday, and the live cast will be carried, the audio on Phil TV and HD, and then, of course, the podcast available. All right. We're going to bring on here Chris Garvin. Chris is with the Pennsylvania Daily, which is a political sheet that, quite obviously, is published out of Pennsylvania. The big news, as you well know, over the weekend, not the big news, but it's the big political news, and there's been an awful lot of other news that we'll get to, is the naming of Paul Ryan as the vice presidential pick for Mitt Romney. And joining us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania tonight is our good friend Chris Garvin. And Chris, how are you, and welcome to the show.
Hey, listen, Bill, it's wonderful to be on your program, and thank you for the invitation.
So, you are a political observer and one of the most respected in the business, and you just saw the vice presidential pick of Mitt Romney. What was your first reaction?
Oh, my first reaction is going to be what I guess you might expect. I am a reporter, but I'm also a commentator, and I'm an individual that has a very decided bias, if you want, in favor of the sitting president. President Obama.
So you're a liberal commentator.
If you want to call me that, I'd like to think of myself as much more aligned to the center. But I do support the incumbent. And this selection by Mitt Romney can only be described as manna from heaven. It's an absolute gift, and it's going to redound in favor of President Obama in ways that I certainly don't think Governor Romney ever anticipated. And
so this is manna from heaven.
Manna, yes. Right, and I want to write. You could write that down. But I would never use it in a column because I don't think it's all that original. But it is it's a gift. It couldn't be better news for a president that's got one hand trying to deal with affairs of government, and on the other hand is trying to run for the presidency of the United States.
All right. So it's a disastrous choice for Romney.
Oh, it couldn't be worse because. It's a lesson that the Republican Party hasn't learned yet. We saw what happened to John McCain with the selection of Sarah Palin, and you would have thought, of course, that that would have taught the Republicans a lesson. It didn't, and they've gone right down the same road again with Paul Ryan.
Now, there's going to be people who will argue that, you know, maybe it was a bad choice in 2008 putting Palin on the ticket, but after 4 years of, and this is, I'm just making the argument that a lot of conservatives would make, after 4 years of a liberal tax and spend president, now Paul Ryan will be welcome.
They can make that argument if they want to, and I can, I can counter it about a dozen different ways. Number one, President Obama has a much higher approval than the Congress of the United States. And you were talking about Mike Lupica's article in the New York Daily News. Paul Ryan is a guy that comes from the House of Representatives, one of the most despised representative bodies in the world, and the most unpopular, this Congress, the most unpopular in all of history.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer my question. Well, after 4 years of a, you know, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
You can play devil's advocate if you want. You can also tell me what you really think, Bill.
Well, I'm going to reserve that. But I mean, my point is, after 4 years of a tax and spend president, this is what they would argue, that a hardline conservative like Paul Ryan would be welcome.
Paul Ryan is not the real deal. Paul Ryan, if he is a fiscal conservative, that's all well and good. But Paul Ryan doesn't understand the reality of the American people are living, because he is a rich boy, born into privilege, born into one of the founding families of his neck of the woods in Wisconsin. He has never had to worry about a paycheck in his life.
You're quoting Mike Lupica's column, right?
Well, yes, I'm quoting Mike Lupica's column, but Mike Lupica's a great writer, but these aren't things that I haven't already thought of and aren't things that I'm not going to write about.
All right, so go ahead.
I may be quoting his column, I could be quoting my column, because I pretty much think the same way that Lupica does. This guy, although when I write my column tomorrow, I want it made very clear that it is an original thought on my part. I'm not stealing from Mike Lupica, the former baseball writer.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It sounds like I might have gotten under you. I might have misstepped there.
It's all right, but remember that I've been writing about politics all of my life. Mike Lupica just came over from a baseball beat at the New York Daily News, so I think that I've comes to politics, I think I know a little bit more about what I'm talking about.
Talk to me about Paul Ryan. You said that he is a man of privilege, right?
Well, yes. He comes from, if you want to talk about a guy born with a silver spoon in his mouth, that's Paul Ryan. This is a guy that's never had to worry about a job or a paycheck or health care for a day in his life. He's someone who read the complete psychobabble of Ayn Rand as a kid and never got over it. So he thinks he's John Galt in Atlas Shrugged, and actually talking about individualism versus collectivism with a straight face.
And all right, see, again, that's you and Lupica are right in line with that.
Well, I didn't. That is an original thought of mine, and keep bringing up Mike Lupica.
No, I just read that line in the Mike Lupica column, the complete psychobabble of Ayn Rand.
Well, that's what it is, the psychobabble. But let me just cut to the chase here and forget about Mike Lupica and whether, you know, he's borrowing from me, because I can assure you I'm not borrowing from him. How do you talk about self-reliance? If you want to talk about Ayn Rand, how do you talk about self-reliance and individualism if you've never had to really worry about a paycheck? If you've never had to really worry about making any money, if you've never had to really worry about making a living, how do you relate to the average person of the street, of the streets of America, the average the average homeowner, the average husband or wife who try to, help a family. And here's a guy who is talking about vouchers for Medicare, all kinds of wonderful things. He's never had to live it. But be that as it may, I'm spending an awful lot of time talking about a guy who has been an absolute gift. And it will, I think, ensure the reelection of Barack Obama.
All right, we're talking here with Chris Garvin from the Pennsylvania Daily, their political writer, and admittedly, probably leaning to the left a little bit.
I think I'm a moderate. I think I'm an independent and moderate Democrat, Bill. I don't like the tag of liberal.
All right. But be that as it may, as there's a phrase we like to use, and I didn't borrow that from Mike Lupica or from you. The fact is, you are calling this pick by Mitt Romney of Paul Ryan a gift for Obama. It is manna from heaven. It has ensured the reelection of Obama, which means Paul Ryan is an odious or distasteful pick for the American voter.
No question. No question about it at all. You know, you're getting beyond the confines of the Republican Party, and you're getting out into the world, and into the real world of independent voters, of blue dog Democrats, of liberal Republicans, or what have you. You are getting out into this world that goes far beyond the confines of the Tea Party, and I can assure you, my friend, that Paul Ryan and people like Paul Ryan are not welcome for persona non grata in the homes of the majority of voters of this country.
All right, Chris Garvin with us. Our number is 877-876-7445. He's a writer for the Pennsylvania Daily, and we're talking about, in his opinion, what he says is an absolute gift, an absolute manna from heaven for Obama, the choice of Paul Ryan as the vice presidential running mate of Mitt Romney. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show.
How about that? That's good.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Chris Garvin, who is a writer for the Pennsylvania Daily. We're talking about the choice of Paul Ryan as the running mate of Mitt Romney. In your words, Chris, manna from heaven for the Obama campaign, a gift. And you're essentially saying that Mitt Romney has misstepped here and made a fatal error.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Not only is he misstepped, but I think he's misstepped to the point where he's missed out on where the American people are right now with Obama. You know, not everybody hates Obama as much as Paul Ryan does. Mitt Romney doesn't hate Obama as much as Paul Ryan does. And I think it's Mitt Romney making a big mistake that is going to cost him dearly. I don't think Mitt Romney will ever recover from this, and I think what will happen is Romney... He'll retire from politics. That's how devastating this is going to be.
All right, 877-876-7445 is the number here. Let me go over to a phone call. Kelly, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Garvin.
Hi, how you doing? Look,
good.
I'm a professional driver.
Kelly.
And
yes, sir.
I don't see how anybody who has a job could vote for Obama. And I think that Paul Ryan was an excellent pick. He's just the man for the job. He may not help Romney get elected, but he definitely knows the economy. And quite frankly, I think people, if you do reelect Obama, then you deserve what you get. Because you're going to end up with a socialist nation. People talk about his policies that failed. They haven't.
Kelly, the socialist nation you're talking about, he's been president for 4 years. And we don't have a socialist nation yet, but I want to ask you a question as a working man,
right.
And I appreciate the fact that you work. Paul Ryan's never worked an honest day in his life. Paul Ryan is the son of a rich man. Paul Ryan is a trust fund baby. Paul Ryan never had to worry about a paycheck. What makes you think he has anything in common with you other than you're the guy that delivers stuff to his house, and maybe he'll give you a tip? But he doesn't know about your work. He doesn't know about your work ethic. And he certainly doesn't know about the challenges that you have paying for your family and everything like that. If you came to Paul Ryan's house with your truck to deliver something, he'd tell you to leave it on the street. And for you to stay on the street, he didn't want you up near his house.
Whoa. You don't know that. Go ahead, Kelly.
No. Well, what I'm saying is he doesn't have to relate to me. If he can get this economy going, I don't care if he's rich. You know, everybody doesn't have to be a blue-collar worker. I mean, if we all were, there wouldn't be any people that are smart, successful. You know, they deserve what they got. They worked hard. They got it.
He didn't work hard. That's the point I'm trying to make. He never worked hard. The money was handed to this guy. Let's vote for him then, not Paul Ryan.
Well, Kelly's point's a good point. Why punish a guy that he happens to have been born to wealth? There's a lot of people that are born to wealth. The King and Queen of England and their sons, Harry and William, and yet I'm not going to discount those guys necessarily.
Look, Prince Harry and Prince William, I'm sure they're very nice guys, and they love their country and they love their family, but I'm not going to put those guys into an executive position that's going to... are you kidding? I'm going to turn the fate of my life, my family, myself, over to some guy... that goes grouse hunting and hunts for deer, and I don't know. And I don't think Kelly would want that either. I think, Kelly, I think you have to face the music here. Not only, you may want to vote for Paul Ryan, but Mitt Romney Romney just gave this election to Obama with a ribbon around it.
But you're not taking into account there may be more voters like Kelly. Kelly, thanks for your call, sir. Appreciate it. Go ahead. You want to finish up? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say one more thing, if you don't mind.
He just handed the next four years to Obama.
I believe that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan will help me to quit supporting not only my own family, but a bunch of other families where, you know, them boys ain't working. If they'll all get out and work, then, you know, I don't have to support me and them.
Well, you're already supporting Paul Ryan.
That's my final comment.
Okay, yeah. All right, Kelly, very good, sir. Thanks for your call. 877-876-7445. What does that mean he's already supporting Paul Ryan?
Well, you have to understand, Phil, that Paul Ryan is a guy that inherited his money. And so when Kelly goes to work and he pays his taxes, Paul Ryan's driving on those. Paul Ryan, in other words, is not, I don't know how to explain it, but Paul Ryan is all bad for a working man. He doesn't relate. He doesn't relate to the working man.
Well, if you don't know how to explain it, I mean, come on. Paul Ryan is bad for Romney how?
I'll tell you how. It's very easy. Paul Ryan is bad for Mitt Romney because he's a rich kid. He's the kind of guy that I've never liked. He's the kind of guy that most of us have never liked. And he's sitting there talking about Ayn Rand like he knows all about it, like he's going to be the big intellectual and he's going to tell me all about self-reliance. And he's rich. And his daddy gave him a car when he was in high school. What did I get? Let me tell you my first car, Phil. My first car was a AMC Hornet. It was a piece of junk that I had to buy off of my sister, and she bought it used. And I'll never forget one morning on my way to work, I had to push start this thing. I found out that the bottom of the carburetor had fallen out of it. And so I had to just hitchhike to work that much. I mean, this was my life. You think Paul Ryan ever had an AMC Hornet with a carburetor that didn't work?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible.
Oh yeah, sure. No, I don't think so, Phil. Let's get serious here. Paul Ryan had what I didn't have. Paul Ryan, by virtue of his wealth, probably had a girlfriend that I would not have. You know, I was saddled in my life with all kinds of...
All right, okay, let me just interrupt you right there, Kelly, because you're talking an awful lot about yourself as opposed to Paul Ryan, and perhaps that's a good technique in getting people to relate.
Well, yes, it is, that's how I write. I write about what happened to me because I think that happened to a lot of people.
All right, we're talking here to Chris Garvin, from the Pennsylvania Daily, about the selection of Paul Ryan as the running mate of Mitt Romney, that Chris calls an absolute gift to Obama, the manna from heaven. It has assured Obama of a second term. It's a disastrous choice. For a disastrous choice, you're spending a lot of time talking about it and convincing us of it.
No, I don't have to convince you of anything, Phil. I don't have to convince you of anything. If you don't know that Paul Ryan is a disaster for Mitt Romney, then you don't understand how the American people are thinking. And the reason why I don't need to talk it up any more than I have. The fact is, the guy's a disaster. Paul Ryan is a disaster. I'm talking about him just because he reminds me so much of the kind of guys I went to school with who thought that they were so special because their old man had... He just reminds me of a lot of things that I didn't have. You understand what I'm saying, Bill?
Okay, yeah, I understand. He reminds you it's a personal thing for you.
No, it's not personal from the standpoint of that's why I hate him. It's such,
do you hate this man?
No, I don't hate him. I don't believe I used that word.
You did. You said from the standpoint of why you hate him.
I don't believe I used that word. You might have heard that. What I mean is I don't like him because he is a guy that stands there like he knows the answer to all of the problems of the world, and he never had to get out of bed a day in his life and go out and earn a paycheck while I did. And if you say I'm personalizing it, then I'm personalizing it. But I remember having to serve guys like that when I was working over here at a coffee shop, and they'd bring their girlfriends in, and I'd have to stand there and take their order. Well, he's with some beautiful girl, and I'm working that night, and I've got, you know, bad skin and all the things that are attendant to a kid that doesn't have a lot of money. And there's Paul Ryan, and I never forgot it. I never forgot it. I never will forget it. And so I'm happy. I'm very happy.
All right, but all of what you're telling me, and the audience is hearing this now, you got to understand, Chris, all of what you're telling me is... very personal to you. We haven't talked a lot about politics. We're talking about, you know, Paul Ryan and...
It is political. Yep, it is.
No. You're talking about what you didn't have and what he had. Anyway, Chris Garvin with us. The choice of Paul Ryan as a running mate for Mitt Romney, a disaster. He's just handed the election to Barack Obama. 877-876-7445 for your calls and more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Chris Garvin with us here as we talk about the selection of Paul Ryan as a vice presidential candidate for Mitt Romney. 877-876-7445 is our number. And let's focus on the bigger issue here, and that is your claim. Forget about whether Paul Ryan is this, that, or something else. You say this hands Obama the next 4 years.
There's no question. This is going to ensure Barack Obama's election as for another 4 years. Who would have ever thought that Barack Obama would get 8 years out of a country that the Republicans were trying to get us to believe was deeply divided over Barack Obama, didn't like Barack Obama, he was a disaster of the president. And guess what? I always knew that he was far more successful president than a lot of people said he was. And now I'm being proved right. And so when Mike Lupica writes this article that you keep quoting from, and you claim that I'm lifting from his article, let's remember, Phil, that I was right when I said that Obama was a far better president than anybody would have expected me to say, or expect him to be, I mean. And now, who would have thunk it? Barack Obama, two-term president, in every bit as much as Bill Clinton, George Bush, Ronald Reagan. Barack Obama. And I think it's because the Republican Party is moving further and further away from where the American people are, and the Republican Party. And Paul Ryan scared the hell out of people, and for me, he was a guy that he robbed me of my youth. He robbed me.
See, you keep going to this personal thing about Paul Ryan.
No, it's not personal. When I say he robbed me of my youth, he robbed a lot of people of their youth, because a lot of people saw this kind of guy sitting there with that good-looking girl from high school, ordering her the big banana split or however, you know, because he had all the money, and you're standing there washing out his filthy dish and rinsing off his filthy coffee cup with a cigarette butt in it, and that's the kind of guy that Paul Ryan was.
All right, well, I don't know that any of that is true. If you want to talk political, we can talk political. His personal proclivities as to whether or not he was, you know, smoking cigarettes and butting them in coffee cups, I don't know. 877-876-7445. Here is Chris on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to say I tend to believe with you, go along with your previous caller. And I like Mr. Garvin. I mean, I came from nothing. I was raised by a single mom who scratched and scraped to put a roof over her head, been working since I was 14. And I'm all for Paul Ryan. I'm Romney, I don't know what they'll do totally, but I know that this government that we've got from both sides is out of control, and they need to stop the spending, and we need to get it in order. And I keep hearing these people say they're not in touch with the American people. Well, I don't know what American people they're talking to, but most in the crowds that I run down here in Virginia, we're pretty conservative, and we're tired of the tax and spend. I keep hearing about tax cuts for the middle class. Me and my wife, we work hard. We're middle class. And all I see is more and more of my money going out, being spent, and getting no return.
What about tax cuts for the rich? You haven't said anything about that, Chris. The rich, those are the people that ought to be taxed, and you don't seem to care about that. Yes, I agree there should be tax cuts for you. But for Paul Ryan, one of the rich people, now, that guy should be taxed.
Well, you know, why don't we go to a flat tax so everybody's paying the same thing? What about the 40-some percent of the country that pays no tax at all?
It's not going to happen. Let's get into reality here. That might be a great idea. It's not going to happen. You know it's not going to happen. Let's talk about reality. And Paul Ryan's got as much in common with you as an earthworm has with you. You know, he doesn't know anything about what you're up against. Paul Ryan has nothing against, you know.
Well, look, let me ask you a question. What's wrong with a guy being rich? What's wrong with a guy being born into wealth?
There's nothing wrong with a guy being born into wealth if he isn't butting his cigarettes in a coffee cup. Did you ever work? I'm sure you did, too, Chris. You worked in high school. You worked as a busboy or a dishwasher or something like that. You ever do that?
I bag groceries.
Sure, sure. And I'll bet you bag groceries for a guy like...
I work manual labor jobs, going to night school.
Oh, you bet.
Tell me this. What has Obama done? Where did he work?
Well, wait. We're not talking about Obama. We're talking about Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan.
No, but you keep saying,
that's right.
Well, you know, this is really what I was saying, though, Chris.
Never done nothing. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
That's exactly right. A silver spoon in his mouth.
So tell me what Barack Obama has done.
See, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing that if I can interrupt, Chris is saying something here, Mr. Garvin. Obama's the issue, okay?
Obama's going to win, okay? That's how much of an issue Obama is.
All right, well, maybe he'll win, but he's the issue. Paul Ryan this, Paul Ryan that's fine, but Obama's the guy, you know?
Let me say something to Chris. When you were bagging those groceries, do you know who that snot-nosed punk was that was standing there looking at you? That was Paul Ryan. That was Paul Ryan. When you were taking the groceries out to the car, driving his daddy's Corvette, that was Paul Ryan. Okay.
I've never measured myself by other people.
How do you feel about that?
I don't care if somebody looks down at nose.
Well, I don't either.
That's their problem. That's their problem.
Okay. All right. That's good. Well, that's good. But I mean, the fact is, I washed dishes, and I had to rinse out this guy's filthy cigarette butt.
Okay, wait. But you heard what Chris just said. He's not comparing himself. Now, let's talk about the guy who's really the issue here. And it is true. President Obama is the incumbent. He is the issue. You can talk all you want about whether the Republicans are coming up with the right antidote or solution or the best campaign or the best platform. President Obama.
President Obama is my president. He's shown himself to be. What do you want me to say? President Obama, what hasn't he done? He's done everything right. He went out and got the guy. Who's the guy that did 9/11? What's the guy?
Bin Laden. You don't know his name?
Yeah, okay. He got him.
The Navy SEAL got him. The military.
Who do you think the commander-in-chief is? Who do you think the commander-in-chief is that gave the order to go after the get out of here? Now, come on, Chris. You and I were having a nice conversation.
If Bush had been in office and they'd have found him, he'd have done the same thing.
No, Bush would have asked permission from the Pakistanis.
Clinton let him slip away.
Bush would have asked permission from the Pakistanis first. See, that's the thing that he would have done.
Well, we don't know that's the case. You know?
I mean, okay.
All right, so we got Osama bin Laden. I think we can all agree that was a nice move by President Obama. Now, what else? What about the economy?
The economy? You know, Paul Ryan.
Let's get off of Paul Ryan.
No, why do you want to? I came on your program to talk about what a disaster Paul Ryan is, and now you guys want to get off that. I mean, Chris, you should read Mike Lupica's column. Read it. And you'll see.
We're talking about
Paul Ryan of the Republican Party. I'm an independent voter. I have voted both ways over the years. I vote the person. I've seen is in the last 4 years, my money has gone less and less and less and less distant. I see more and more money being dumped into programs.
That was the Republicans that did that.
That was the Republicans.
Well, sure. And
no, get out of here. Now, let's start talking intelligently.
I don't remember them doing a stimulus and talking about a second stimulus.
No, I mean, they were trying to say...
That money is going to come from people like me who are working 60 or 70 hours a week.
They were trying to stimulate the economy that was already in the tank on account of Bush. See?
By spending more money? If I don't have enough money to meet my bills, I don't do it by going out and get more loans. I do it by...
Hold on. Sorry. I know that you know this is true, Chris. I know you know this. There have been times in your life when you had to take out a loan because you had to get things done, right? Even though it might not have been the smartest thing to do in terms of your finances, you needed that loan to get something accomplished. That's what we're doing.
What are you talking about?
No, you're right. I needed a loan to get my house because I didn't have $150,000 in my pocket.
Exactly.
But you could afford it.
I could afford it, right? Month to month.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he could afford the payment.
Well, we can afford the payments, too, if
we can.
Well, yes, we can. Our questions. I don't think it's fair for you, Mr. Hender, to allow the conversation to go this way. I was on to talk about Paul Ryan, and now you've got me.
Yeah, I've got you talking about. I told you before you came on, Chris, the issue is going to be President Obama. We can talk about Romney. We can talk about Ryan. We can talk about a million things. But the election, always an election in an incumbent's second term, you know, looking at a second possible second term, it's always the issue, the incumbent himself.
What did you just say? That's the most confusing.
Anyway, Chris, thank you very much, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. Well done. 877-876-7445. You understand what I'm talking about?
No, I don't understand. What you're talking about, Obama, it has been a great president, given what he had to. Mr. Henry, I need to remind you that President Obama was handed, 4 years ago, he was handed the keys to a car that not only didn't run very well, but if you took it a few miles down the road, if you lit a cigarette up, if you didn't, it would explode. It would explode and incinerate everyone inside. That was the car that he inherited. And I think you have to, I think you've got to give me that much. And
if you, say that again?
The president inherited a country not unlike an automobile that didn't run very well. And if you took it a few feet down the road and lit a cigarette or you did anything, sprayed your hair, whatever women do in a car, you've seen women try to put pantyhose on a car. The car would explode, and everyone would be incinerated. You understand what I mean by incinerate, right?
And yeah, so you're saying that President Obama inherited a country that was getting ready to explode and burn up.
That's exactly what I'm saying, and he brought it back from the brink. And
well, I think you're going to get a lot of disagreement on that. You know, there's a cosmos of possibility when it comes to countries and the economies of such and the leadership of countries and this idea that America was on the verge of exploding. All right, our number 877-876-7445. We'll be back here. Chris Garvin from the Pennsylvania Daily on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us here is Chris Garvin from the Pennsylvania Daily, talking about the Paul Ryan pick being the biggest disaster that that could befall Romney. So he just went right out and made a dumb pick.
Oh yeah, I mean he went out and made a very dumb pick because he can't possibly get elected with it. People are not going to vote for Mitt Romney with a guy on the ticket. And I'm using it as an example. A guy on the ticket that reminds them of the guy that they had to clean up after when they were slinging hash in the cafeteria.
This is again, you're talking about personal stuff, not political stuff.
No, the political stuff, I already told you that this man, Ryan, has no realistic plan for the country other than the fact that he's a rich boy. You know, like I said, you don't want me to bring it up, but he used to laugh at people like me when I was trying to wipe down a place for him and his girlfriend at the table, and he'd sit down and spill a soup or some stew, and it would look like puke. And
boy, you got a real thing for these rich guys that humiliated you when you were in school, Chris. It's quite telling. It's very interesting. Let me go to Mike. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Mike, with Chris Garvin.
You think it's some psychological thing?
It seems like it, yeah. Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I'm a registered Democrat. I'm sorry?
Yes, I'm doing very well. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. But I am a registered Democrat, and I did vote for President Obama the last election.
Yes, sir.
However,
yes, sir.
It was great because I believed everything he said, And I really couldn't I couldn't understand it after I seen the turn of events for the last 3.5 years. However, I'm thinking about turning over to independent because I really don't believe in everything that each party says. But what I have to say is that with Paul Ryan, and I think that's the issue for tonight, is that the VPs always get the stuff deflected off of them. And Paul Ryan is the one that he has the chutzpah. He will call out. He will say things. And he has to say things that are really pertinent to the issues that everybody's being affected by. And if Romney would do it, he'd be called a racist. Let's face it. You listen to all the
There's only one problem with that, Mike. There's only one problem with that. You don't want a guy like Ryan because, you know, he shoots from the hip and he's going to say something to a member of Congress like, you know, you big black buck blank, blank, blank. And
are you kidding?
What?
He wouldn't
say that. No, he never said
that. Vice president of the...
If you looked at his records, do you know his records from Congress and see what they say? All the words are down there. He's not that way.
He's going to say to some, I don't know.
You assume that. Of all the things you can say about Paul Ryan, you may say that his economic policies are wrong-headed. You may say the guy's a rich boy. Why would you say he's going to revert to that kind of racist talk?
This man just said it would deflect off of him.
Well, see, Mr. Henry and Chris, this is what the game plan is. This is what it is. Because I listened to another talk show before this, and the same thing
is
when somebody... Did,
Which one were you listening to? Which one were
Alan
you listening
Combs,
to?
Alan Combs.
Alan, I love... Alan's great. He's right on
Alan's
target.
Great. Yes, he is.
He's wonderful.
He is very
entertaining. He says what I'm thinking. But you ask Alan. Alan was the kind of guy that a Paul Ryan would take Alan, because Alan was a skinny kid, and Paul Ryan would take a kid like Alan and push him out of a second-floor window. Can you believe that?
Yeah, but see,
what are you
Alan
talking
would,
about?
But see, Alan would that, open the door so he can do it. That's two different
yeah.
things. Right.
What?
Alan, see, this, oh, Alan would
all right,
open
okay.
the door.
All right, we're way off the beaten path here. We're getting off the topic here. We're talking
right,
about, you know.
No, I'm just saying, Alan Combs is the kind of guy who would allow Paul Ryan to kick him in the crotch, double him up from a kick to the you-know-what, and then push him out of a second-floor window.
And this man just said, and he'd open the window for him.
Yeah, this is all speculation.
Means. Okay, all right. Look, thank you very much for your call, Paul. Mike, I got to move on. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-7445. Here's Tony. Go ahead, Tony. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. You're killing me.
Hi.
But I wanted to say Nixon was the last Republican in office that had a surplus. So for all these economic geniuses out here, what's the problem? No Republican's done it since him. You know, I cannot believe. Pardon me?
Richard Nixon, he was a disaster. He was a complete disaster.
Right, but he's the last Republican that had a surplus.
Right, right.
Okay, I mean, let's just be real. You just got to be real about stuff. It's not about all this other stuff. It's just looking at economics. And people need to, I don't even really think they understand how economics works. You know, everybody's looking about, all they're worried about is in their pocket at the moment. They don't even understand how the whole world economy works or whatever. And that's one thing about white folks being black that I've found out. They hate poor white people almost worse than they hate people of color. Now, because they remind them of what they could have been.
That's true. But, you know, in Roman times, Tony... In Roman times, the members of the Roman Republic would have slaves to remind them of how lucky they were. So in many ways,
what does that mean?
What does what mean?
Well, they had slaves.
But it reminded them of how lucky they were to be citizens. See, and so I think having that poor white trash, which I don't think rises even to the level of a poor black person. Poor black people have a level of dignity, but white. You look at these guys that go. You know, a poor black man goes fishing. A poor white man goes to wrestling.
Right.
And
goes to wrestling.
Well, I guess I'm being funny tonight, huh?
Yeah, you're hysterical, man. And I can tell you something else. As I said, we're drifting further and further away from the topic, which is Obama and the 4 years he's had as president.
I don't think that President Obama has done anything near as bad as it's going to be if you put Ryan in there.
What's the solution?
Here's what they think the solution is. The solution is to cut all these taxes. Everybody puts the money back in their pocket. People fall dead in the streets from starvation. It's China, 1911, and we're just living large. You kidding me?
Good God, what a vision.
Well, that's what they want.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. Very interesting bit of historical information about President Nixon, the last guy with a surplus, although that probably speaks more to, and maybe that's what we ought to be talking about, economic conditions as opposed to whatever policies a president may or may not institute. 877-876-7445. Let's go to one final call here. Albert, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Albert.
Yeah, I'm just...
Hey, Albert.
Listen to all this nonsense. He's talking about how putting cigarette butts out in his coffee cup and everything.
That's what he did. These rich guys, I'd be ready to bust the table. They'd say, one more thing, boy. And he'd butt the cigarette in the coffee.
Not everybody that is rich.
Hold on. Hold on for a second, Albert. We got to take a break, but we'll be first up with you when we come back. 877-876-7445. It's Paul Ryan, the new running mate of Mitt Romney. In the words of Chris Garvin, our liberal commentator, it's a gift to Obama. Obama is now assured of winning the 2012 election. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We'll put our guest, Chris Garvin, is on the line there from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania tonight. We're going to talk with him further about Paul Ryan and the selection of Paul Ryan as a running mate for Mitt Romney, which Chris has called a gift to Obama. It has ensured, in the words of Chris, the re-election of President Obama. We'll take more of your phone calls. We have little Ian Anderson in with a review of a new TV show called Grimm. He's going to be up later on in the hour. We have our News and Information Hour coming up. And a reminder that if you are of a mind, you can watch our show as well as listen to it at philhenryshow.com. We have a live streaming, high-definition video cast of our show every night, Phil TV in HD. And with a backstage pass, you can see that. You can see, you can see us performing the show. Also, we're giving away a free year of backstage access to the Phil Henry website. And you can put yourself in the running for that by hashtagging BSP at twitter.com/Phil Henry Show. Or by going over to our fan page and liking our fan page. It's at Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Henry, PHANS, Phil Henry Fans. We also have a episode 30 of the Free Phil Henry podcast dropping today, and it's a Milwaukee Lions game, bud.
Yeah, that's Jack I. Gagner.
Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison with a Milwaukee Lions game from 1980 against the Sacramento Gold. So if you haven't heard the Milwaukee Lions, you're missing it. 877-876-7445. Bringing back here our friend Chris Garvin. And this idea of Obama getting a gift-wrapped package, a present from the Republican Party of another 4 years. You're saying that Paul Ryan is a disaster because the guy is a rich boy who never had to work for a thing in his life, so he can't possibly understand the working man.
Well, that's exactly right, Bill. And
hold on, I'm just going to get all these. You say that Paul Ryan is not going to be able to relate to anybody. From the standpoint of his plan for a voucher for Medicare, and he's also a kind of a wannabe in that he reads Ayn Rand, but he's never lived it. He's never walked the walk. All right. So Romney has made the dumbest decision that anybody's made since John McCain picked Sarah Palin. Is that it?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think that there is any better way of putting it. I mean. And the thing that I think has struck me, Phil, over the last few minutes as I've been talking to some of the people that have been calling your program, is that they're good people and they're hardworking people and so on and so forth, but they're buying into the fairy tale okay? They're buying into the fairy tale that somehow this picking of Paul Ryan is something that the majority of Americans relate to. I think that the guys that have been supporting Paul Ryan in the last few minutes that I talked to, just like that lady said, are part of that underclass of white people that Paul Ryan looks down as though that.
Now, that was an interesting thing she said. She said that rich white people look down on poor white people more than they do black people.
That's a fact. Now, that's a natural fact. And
where are you getting this? Where is she getting that? What does that mean?
Well, it's simple. If you are a entitled, white person, and you see some guy, truck driving hillbilly redneck type, you think there but for the grace of God go I. There but for the grace of God go I. And if you think about the people in the white people with money, let's talk about Paul Ryan. Every time he sees a hillbilly driving down the road there in Wisconsin with the truck and the rebel flag, or although it's Wisconsin, I don't know if they have a rebel flag in Wisconsin, but I'm sure they do. Paul Ryan probably thinks, there but for the grace of God go I. See? And
Paul Ryan probably thinks, you haven't brought up any evidence that this is the man's mindset. All you're talking about, these are very prejudicial statements that are based on a stereotype.
Whoa. Those are a whole lot of $50 words there, Phil. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is what I just said. I'll say it again. What you're saying about Paul Ryan here are, these are very prejudicial views based upon a stereotype that you have of rich whites. All right.
Did I not say to you that I lived the life when I was in high school and college? Guys like Paul Ryan would come in, and I was bussing tables.
No, you told me all about bussing tables.
I was bussing tables at Coco's, and a guy like Paul Ryan would come in with the most beautiful girl on campus, the most gorgeous girl on campus, and then the two of them would look at me, and they'd butt their cigarettes to their coffee. They'd put the cigarette out in the coffee. And probably were thinking, there but for the grace of God go I.
As they were looking at you.
Yes.
877-876-7445. All right, we left Albert here hanging, and we're going to get back to him because he's been very patient. Albert, you're back on the air with us here. It's a brand new hour. I apologize. We had to hold you over.
Not.
Go ahead, sir. What did you want to say?
I'll tell you, man. I pick up people every day in my cab, okay? And I get a lot of poor people. I got a lot of rich people. And, you know, some rich guys get in my cab, you know, and they're whatever. You know, with the little attitude like he's talking. But a lot of them, you know, they throw me $20 bills, $50 bills, you know. So you can't judge somebody just because they're born into money or whatever. That's just asinine. And as
but
far as Obama...
Think it's fair of me to say, don't you think it's fair of me to say, though, that those people don't know anything about your cab
Obama
driving experience? What's that?
I didn't...
What did you just say to me?
I got a customer in my cab that's talking right now, and
is he rich?
No.
He's not rich. Well, that
no,
was a
not at all.
Mistake. Should have picked up a guy with money, and then we could have asked him, hey, what do you think about this guy driving the cab?
I think what Albert's saying is he's trying to transact some business right now. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, Albert, we're going to let you. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say one thing, Albert. You're a cab driver, and I think that that's a good thing. But as a cab driver, you don't want to be picking up somebody who looks down his nose at you and says, there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Hey,
oh,
man,
boy.
It's another dollar in my pocket. I don't care what he says about me.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious. Oh, dead serious.
You're trying to tell... Really? So if this guy's in your cab and he's thinking in his mind, as you're driving along, he's thinking... Thank God I'm not that poor, wretched soul. It doesn't make any difference to you.
No, it doesn't. Because I'm saying, you know, I wish I was him. You know, so what?
Yeah, but he's not. Yeah, but that's different from what he's saying. He's saying, thank God I'm not him.
All right, well, one guy has money and the other guy doesn't.
Yeah, but see, do you want a guy like that being vice president of the United States?
All right. Thank you very much, Albert. Time for you to go back. We've been interrupting your work long enough. 877 877-744-5.
Oh, that guy wanted to say some more. I like talking to him because that guy is a working guy. See?
Yeah, but he was not backing up what you were saying. He was saying it doesn't matter to him. He was saying that everybody in his mind is the same, rich people, poor people.
I don't think he was being honest, though, when I said to him that if there's a cab driver, if the guy is a rich guy, says, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. I don't think he's being honest. I think nobody wants anybody to say that about them. And if you have a vice president of the United States and a guy like this Paul Ryan, who every day he gets out of bed there at the vice presidential residence, will be looking out his window at cab drivers and people delivering newspapers, at domestic servants going to and fro, looking out his window even at cops, maybe even at soldiers, and thinking the same thing, there but for the grace of God go I. Then I think that you're barking up the wrong tree. You are you might not even be a dog, and you shouldn't even be going near a tree. That's how wrong you are. In fact, trees shouldn't have anything to do with it. That's how way out of sight of the...
All right, fine. I understand.
You get my meaning.
Yeah, I get your meaning. All right, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just news being reported here that Helen Gurley Brown has passed on. She, the author of the book Sex and the Single Girl, and she went on to become the editor and publisher of Cosmopolitan magazine. Helen Gurley Brown, I believe 90 years of age, has passed on. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Chris Garvin, your phone calls, and also later on in the hour, little Ian Anderson on the new TV show Grimm. All ahead, Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah, go Lions.
Whee!
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. I got Chris Garvin on the phone here from the Pennsylvania Daily as we talk about the what he calls the disastrous pick of Mitt Romney of Paul Ryan. So far, you've been talking an awful lot about Paul Ryan's financial status. You've been talking an awful lot about how guys like that used to butt their cigarettes in the coffee cups that you were bussing from tables. You don't feel that that's irrelevant?
I don't think it's irrelevant at all, Phil. I don't think it's. I don't know why I would think that was irrelevant. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Look, you want me to comment on Ryan's politics? Ryan's politics. I just told you what Ryan wants to do. Ryan wants to shut down the social safety net of the United States of America, Social Security, and all of the safety nets we had, wants to shut it down. He thinks everybody who is anybody, is anyone that would have any money coming from the government's got to be lazy. That means the GIs of the GI Bill are lazy. Okay, that's what he wants to do. And then on top of that, he's never worked a day in his life. That's why I say Ryan reminds me of those guys that would climb a ladder. I remember when I was working in construction briefly, and he was the guy who was the son of the owner. And I remember working for a guy who was the son of the owner, and the owner said to me, "Well, my son's going to show you where you got to go up this ladder, Chris, and you got to, you know, frame this upper level of a house we were building."
Okay.
And as I went up the ladder behind this guy, guess what he did? He broke wind as I'm behind him, and then he left. Now, if anything tells you the story of a guy that is entitled punk, a punk kid that would break wind in your face as you're going up a ladder, that's exactly Paul Ryan. And the American people are going to be the recipients of that.
That's a boyhood prank, though, isn't that?
Well, it's sad, but it's coming from a rich kid.
All right, 877-876-7445. We get over to a phone call here on the line. We have Roger. Roger. Well, shoot. I just locked that line up, Dan. Roger, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. What I wanted to say is I don't care about the rich, because there's a lot of rich politicians out there. Even Nancy Pelosi, you know, she's rich, you know, and everything. She's the one that screwed up the economy in the first place. And when she became Speaker of the House and Democrats controlled the Senate, That's when the economy went and tanked. He did that to make George Bush look bad. That's what that was. And
wait a second. She's not rich. She comes.
Well, I think
three.
She is too. She had all this thing out in California and all this, and it doesn't make any difference anyway. I mean, a guy can be a billionaire and never work a day in his life. We look at our president we got now. He doesn't. Where has he worked at? He's never bussed tables or anything. You know, he's done
that guy,
go around and talk about
least,
stuff.
He's not a millionaire.
And go on vacation.
He's not a millionaire.
That's all he's done since he's been in
office. He's not a millionaire. He's not a millionaire.
He's
not like Paul Ryan.
Hold on.
Now, yeah. If you're going to talk over people, I'm going to hang up on you, okay, Roger? Nobody's going to hear what you have to say. You got to just
right.
Hold on.
Yeah, that guy's talking over me, Phil.
I already talked to him, and I don't want you to do the same thing, if you don't mind, Chris.
All right, Roger, let's have a reasonable conversation.
Yeah.
When you were in high school, wasn't there a rich guy? You heard the story that I just told you about the son of the guy that I worked for in construction. And what job do you think he had? Oh, he all of a sudden's a foreman. He never worked. He's a foreman. Okay. So
you're making a lot of allegations, though. You're making a lot of allegations about Paul Ryan that you don't even know about. You don't even know
what
if about that or not. Yeah, that's just all your talk.
Are you on Morse code? Because I'm hearing all these beeps and stuff.
No, that's his phone. That's his phone.
All right.
Your phone's making some funny noises there, Roger.
I just want to say this, Roger. The guy goes up the ladder and cuts a fart in my face. Phyllis said that that's a childish thing that a guy would do. All right. But you'll notice it was the rich guy that did it. See?
Yeah. Well, the guy could be poor, too, and do that. But that's all irrelevant. You know, I care about is what they're going to do for the country. And
all right.
So far,
okay, fair enough.
Obama and
fair
his
enough.
Team have not done anything. If I'd have to grade them, they'd give me an F. I give them one F. That's what I give them.
Well, but keep this in mind. If Paul Ryan becomes the vice president, he's going to be the guy up the ladder ahead of you, cutting one in your face. And
boy, what does that mean, though, man? You can say that, but what does that mean?
It means that while Roger there is working as hard as he can to save as much money as he can, Paul Ryan's standing there and saying, hey, self-reliance and Ayn Rand, I read the book. And meanwhile, he's going over to his trust fund to pick out a few more million off the money tree.
Well, you make it sound like Paul Ryan goes out back to the money tree and just picks his salary.
That's right. Look, who else can afford to work in Congress but rich guys because they don't pay you nothing? That's the whole thing that I'm saying.
All right. Very good call. I appreciate that, sir. Thanks for your call. Roger, right? Thanks,
yeah.
Roger. 877-876-7445. You've been saying a whole lot of nothing here.
What's that?
You've been saying a whole lot of nothing here, in my opinion. You've been saying the...
What have I been saying that's a whole lot of nothing?
I mean, I can just go back over your comments. It's all about Paul Ryan was the kind of guy.
That's exactly right. I'm illustrating the person that he is.
All right, the kind of guy is he butted his cigarette in a coffee cup. He farted going up a... he farted going up a ladder.
It is funny. I know it's funny, Phil, but it is indicative of the mindset of these people. You see?
And this stuff about how, the white trash, they go to wrestling instead of going fishing, all this stuff. I think that there is a prejudice that you suffer from on your side of things that has to do with, the kind of people that we've been hearing here tonight. Let me take a phone call, okay?
Yeah, I think you better, because what you just said there was everything you just said there made absolutely no sense. No sense at all. And I've got to think about it. I've got to think about how I want to attack the stupidity of what you just said, Phil. I'm sorry.
All right, fine. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Talking with us here is Chris Garvin from Pennsylvania. Here is Vernon. Go ahead, Vernon. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. It's Vernon Dozier, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak on your program tonight.
My pleasure.
To Mr. Garvin. Mr. Garvin?
Yep, sir.
Look, I'm a very, very conservative person, and I'll just get that out right up front. I'm very conservative. I'm even more conservative probably than Paul Ryan and all of them. Now, you're talking about the kind of guy that would go up a ladder and cut a fart and all this. And I've been around guys like that. I've been around guys that are entitled. I've been around wealthy people. I've been around people who have power. I've always wanted to be one of them.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
What is that supposed to mean? It means that the man out here that's struggling, the man out here that is trying to make provide for his family, wants to be, I mean, in his fondest dream, he wants to be that man. He wants to be that guy that's got money. He doesn't want to be you. He doesn't want to be the guy who's already got money and sitting there pretending like he wants to be poor, you know.
Well, wait. Hold on for just a minute. How do you know whether I have money or not?
I'm guessing if you're a longtime media representative.
Yeah, but how do you know? You don't know me.
But the fact is you do have money, Chris. Isn't it true?
The fact is that I have money, but I'm speaking on behalf. That's not the point.
I knew that you had money because that's the way you liberals are. You're rich, but you wish you were poor, or at least you want people to think you're poor, as opposed to conservatives who are rich, and they want people to know they're rich. Okay?
Yeah, but Paul Ryan isn't rich.
How do you figure Paul Ryan's not rich?
Well, he's not rich. It was somebody else that made the money, and Paul Ryan is sitting there and making money. He's not making money, see?
You resent Paul Ryan because he's the kind of guy that butted a cigarette in a coffee cup. Is that your main problem?
My main problem with Paul Ryan is that he never worked a day in his life, and he's pretending like he's read Ayn Rand.
So what? Have you ever read Ayn Rand?
I have no need to read Ayn Rand. I wouldn't read that kind of garbage. First of all, I don't approve, and this may come as a surprise, I don't approve of her as a lesbian. I don't approve of her lesbian work being in schools. They won't... Boy, oh boy.
Her lesbian works being in schools.
That's right. Do you hear any conservative saying, I don't want to have Ayn Rand at the school, she's a lesbian? No, you don't. Because she's saying conservative lesbian stuff.
Boy, you just sound like you sound like you're wrecked. From the neck up, you sound wrecked.
Well, you know, takes one to know one.
Okay, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Takes one to know one, that's great.
Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show here, and on the line with me is Chris Garvin. Chris is with the Pennsylvania Daily. Vernon Dozier is hanging on here with us as well from Belmar Academy, and more of your phone calls as well as we talk about Paul Ryan. And you were making the point, Vernon, about Ryan's conservatism being, every bit as much applicable or relatable to poor men as anything the Democrats have done.
Phil, hold on for a minute, Phil. This guy is saying that
I think he was talking to me, though.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Chris.
This guy is saying, first of all, what he's saying is interesting. He's saying that the Paul Ryan, even though Paul Ryan has never in his life, ever in his life, had to work for a paycheck, had to work for a living, Paul Ryan is entirely relatable to a poor man. I'm just telling you right now, Paul Ryan would have nothing to do with you. I tell you because I was working with guys like this. These guys would do things like ask you to bring about a drink to the pool or something. If you were working as a helping around the house, and they said, bring a drink out to the pool. You bring the drink out to the pool, and they pull your pants down if you're walking back to the house.
Did you ever have a job like that?
I don't believe this man's ever had a job like that.
What's that?
Did you ever have a job like that?
Did I ever have a job like what?
Did you ever have a job...
I don't believe this guy's telling the truth.
Hold on, Vernon. Did you ever have a job taking drinks out to the pool?
I remember very clearly a friend of mine when I was in high school who had a buddy, and they had a domestic who was a young white man, not a black man, a young white man, and my friend would yank this guy's pants down and giggle about it.
I don't believe that. That sounds to me like your friend was probably had, you know. Probably enjoyed looking at guys that way, you know.
Okay. Are you saying my friend is gay?
That brings me up.
Hold on. Are you saying my friend was gay?
I'm saying that you had a very sick friend. You had a stupid, sick friend who would do things like that. I don't know whether you want to bring this up or not, Phil.
Well, that was not the case. I'm just saying that he had money. And
all right, so he had money, and he liked to mess around with guys that don't have money. He liked to...
No, he didn't like to mess around. You're making it sound like there's a homosexual connection, and there wasn't.
All right, hold on for just a minute, both of you guys. A moment ago, you said that Ayn Rand is a lesbian, and therefore her works were not suitable for a high school.
That's what I'm saying.
And I thought that you were a liberal, and therefore an individual who believed in the rights of gay people.
I absolutely do. But if you're going to hold to the same standard that the conservatives hold to, then Ayn Rand should not, none of her books should be in high school. She's gay. You know, and...
You're pretty sure of that, huh?
What? Are you kidding? Yeah, I'm pretty sure of it, yeah. I mean...
I don't know. I mean, I thought she was married. I don't know. I'm sorry. I missed that part of Ayn Rand. I didn't know it was that big of a...
I don't think that there's any doubt. Hey,
Phil, that's a very good point that Mr. Henry's making. How do you know that Ayn Rand was gay?
Well, okay. You know what? I'm going to tell you this right now. If Ayn Rand is gay, then you conservatives are being the hypocrites of a lifetime by letting her stuff be in the school libraries and not doing something about it.
All right, well, that depends on the kind of conservative. And I'll tell you, when I heard what you said...
What does that mean? That's the kind of conservative.
I think I don't think all conservatives are anti-gay anything. I mean, I think there are a lot of conservatives maybe against gay marriage, but I don't think they're against gay books in libraries, you know?
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I'm not saying that it's consistent. I'm not even saying I admire that kind of philosophy. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it happens. I'm sure that the conservatives are happy to have a gay in the library if it's a gay conservative, even though it's not a protected legal status.
Can I say something, Phil? I've been sitting here and I've been listening to about as much of this as I'm going to be able to stand. I mean, I am ready to throw up.
Well, you know what? Maybe you're throwing up because you're coming up.
I want to finish what I want to say.
Go ahead, Vernon.
All right.
Go ahead, Vernon.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it sounded so familial. Go ahead, Vernon.
Sorry, you know, I've been listening to you.
Yeah, I understand. Because I have something to say that's worth listening to.
Well, you know what? I don't doubt that. But I'd like the audience to at least have an opportunity to hear what I got to say. Maybe it's worth listening to, too.
All right, but I mean, how do you feel when Mr. Henry goes, go ahead, Vernon?
I don't give a damn how he said it.
What is the point of you...
I just think it's very interesting that you strike me as a conservative, Mr. Henry, and now you're all, go ahead, Vernon. See, I think that there is a basic hypocrisy among the conservative movement, including Paul Ryan, when it comes to gays.
How did we get on gays, man? How did we start talking about that?
Ayn Rand. You and this guy Ryan loves her.
All right, so fine. I mean, let's just keep that conversation for another time, if you don't mind. All right, I want to talk specifically and only about Paul Ryan's political philosophy and what you have been saying here, which I think was the most explosive comment you made tonight, and practically the I shouldn't say this, but
I'll say it. The only interesting comment you made tonight, the fact that this is going to hand Obama the next 4 years.
Oh, the only interesting comment I made tonight, huh?
Well, pretty much, because the rest of this stuff has been drivel.
Oh, boy.
Oh, look out, Phil. I think you hurt his feelings.
No, look, hey, I'm not the guy that said, go ahead, Vernon. So.
All right, so your insistence on talking about Ayn Rand being a lesbian...
I'm talking about you with go ahead, Vernon. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about whatever is convenient for conservatives, they embrace. If it isn't convenient, then they don't embrace it. And I'm talking about the whole gay view and how conservatives go back and forth on whether they like gays. If it's a gay conservative, they like him. If it's not a gay conservative, if it's a gay liberal or something, they don't like him. You know,
I want to finish what I
go ahead, Vernon. There, you want to make fun of that?
Sounds pretty. I recorded it.
Yeah, okay.
He recorded it. Now, I guess that's the only thing you're going to remember tonight, because...
No, I remember everything, believe me. I'll remember this night for as long as I live, what's happened to me tonight.
What's happened to you tonight?
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
What's happened to me? Where do I start?
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
I was just waiting for the gentleman to say, go ahead, Vernon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Vernon.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're not offended by that.
Will you please let this man say what he's going to say? Don't even say it.
Thank you, Phil. Mr. Garvin, I've been listening to you this evening talking about Paul Ryan being a death sentence for the Romney ticket. Basically, that's what you've been saying. You've been saying that this guy Ryan, by virtue of his, silver spoon status, or however you want to put it, by virtue of his being from this very entitled wealthy family in Wisconsin, by virtue of his never having, quote-unquote, worked a day in his life, or whatever it is that you said, you're basically saying that this man is a death sentence to the Republican Party. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying, yes, sir.
All right. Now, it just so happens, as I finally got the floor, I have a cough, and there's a tickle in my throat, and I may not be able to say what I want to say. And what I have to say is going to not only destroy your entire appearance here tonight in terms of my argument, but it will destroy possibly everything that you ever write again, Mr. Garvin, because that's how good my argument's going to be. The only problem is I have a tickle in my throat. And
well, can you get some water?
What are you saying?
Hold on. Yeah, I'm going to get some coffee. Can I drink some coffee, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, hold on. All right.
What exactly are you saying?
I'm saying that I have an argument that opposes your argument that is so solid it will destroy you, and I may not be able to get it out because I have a... I've got a cough.
You know what? I've heard some real disingenuous comments before.
Are you able to go on?
Oh, yeah. Are you able to go on? Because if you can't go on, you won't be able to come out with the argument that's going to destroy me. Is that right?
That is exactly right. Excuse me.
You're reminding me a lot of Harvey Weierman, a guy that we have on who is a liberal. Otherwise, we'd have him on to replace you, but he's got the same condition.
Maybe you've got Harvey Weierman disease.
Why don't you shut up? I think I'm all right, Phil. All right, here it is. You ready? You better be sitting down for this, Garvin, because I'm about ready to rip you a new A.
You don't have to spell it.
Don't spell it, whatever you do, because that would be anti-decency.
All right, but I'm about to rip you a new one. Here you go. Here it goes. You ready?
Yes, I'm sitting. I'm waiting.
All right. Here we go. Gosh, I'm sorry, Phil.
What? All right, you know what? I'm going to let you go then.
You can't let me go.
Oh, bull crap. This guy has an argument that's going to destroy me, and you're letting him go?
He can't go on.
If I could, I would, because I've got an argument that will shut you down forever.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Well, guess what? I've got a tickle in my throat.
Yeah, I'll bet you've got a tickle, but I bet it ain't in your throat.
What's that mean?
All right, okay. I can't stand it any longer.
Do you want me to keep him on?
No! I don't want to talk to either one of those idiots. I've had about enough of that stuff as I can take. I got an argument that's going to destroy you. I can't get it out because I got a tickle in my throat. Meanwhile, this guy has been busting tables for guys like Paul Ryan his whole life, taking the cigarettes out of the coffee cups and getting farted, some dude farting in his face, and this is why Paul Ryan is no good. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. This will not be the end of this discussion. The relative strength or benefits or lack thereof of Paul Ryan on the Republican ticket. We'll talk about it some more as the days and weeks progress. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Little Ian Anderson, coming up next with a review of the new TV show, Grimm, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Bill Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Get it while it's hot. Backstage pass, that is. Next hour is our news and information hour for this Monday night. Tell you what's happening around the planetoid. And also get you ready for the week ahead and just some other things. Now, little Ian Anderson, who's been on our program from time to time, talking on a variety of topics. We've got him covering one of the, that's our line to the convention center there, bud. I don't think we need that.
Yeah, there ain't anybody there, though.
I don't care if there's anybody there. We got little Ian Anderson, who's, we assigned Ian, you to watch this show, Grimm.
Yes.
Okay, and did you watch it?
Yes, I watched it this evening, and I've got a report I was going to do on it for you.
Okay, good, good. Tell us.
Right, well, this, there's a TV program. It's called Grimm. It's on NBC, and it's, I forget, there's people that star. I've not got the name of the actors, or nothing like that, right?
Okay, that's fine.
But, It's a TV show, and it's about this man who is the descendant, right, of the people who are from Grimm, you know. It's like a family.
Okay.
It's like a family, the Grimm family.
All right, so the Grimm family is the fairy tale family?
Right, it's the Grimm fairy tale family. And this man, it's like he's a descendant, right, of those people, and he lives up in Portland, Oregon, and like he's got a friend who's also a dog, but he's part dog. He's not a full dog, right? He doesn't want to be a dog, but he is a dog.
And okay, so this guy's is he a cop? Did you say?
Right, he's a police officer
in Portland, Oregon.
Yes, sir. Right, and so anyway, he lives in Portland, Oregon, and he has a he's a police officer, but he's got his friend. He's also a friend of his, but he's also a dog.
Is he a dog or is he a person?
Well, he's like a person, but he's changing into a dog. He doesn't want to be a dog. Okay?
Okay, he doesn't want to be a dog. So it's a bad thing.
Right, it's a bad thing. And see, like, the reason that his friend doesn't want to change into a dog is because he'll change into one of these, like, evil creatures, right? What was around back when his family was writing all these Grimm's fairy tales, right? See, because the Grimm fairy tale family, they can see all these creatures. They have the power, see?
The Grimm fairy tale family can see these creatures.
Right.
They're like mythic creatures.
They're like what?
They're like mythic, like make-believe?
Right, they're make-believe, right. But they really do exist, right? And
okay, so they do exist.
Yeah, right, yeah. And that's what they saw when they was making the fairy tales, right? So they saw all these creatures, and that's what the Grimm family can do. And so down through the years, there'd be more and more and more of the Grimm family, right? And then finally, like a lot of families done, the family moves to America, right? And the American Grimms have got the same... They've got the same ability that his family in Europe has. And
okay, so the Grimms here in America can see creatures.
Right.
And one of them is this cop in Portland.
Right, one is this copper in Portland, right? And anyway...
Now, this friend of his...
Well, see, Grimm, he can see when these creatures is around because they take on a human form, right? And that's what his ancestors seen over in Europe in the old days. Right now, in America, where they are over here, they followed him over here, right? And so he's looking at the same creatures.
Why did they follow him?
Well, it's not that they followed him. It's just they're all over, and only the Grimm family can see him. And one of them is this dog, but he's friends with the dog, and it's the guy that doesn't want to be a dog.
Well, are the other creatures want to be the creatures they are?
Right, right, because they're evil, see?
Okay. So this guy is a good guy, and he doesn't want to turn into the dog.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't want to turn in. He doesn't want to turn into a dog, see? So anyway, so this cop in Portland, Oregon, when he sees that some of them are evil or like have ill intent, right? Well, he tries to warn everyone, right? And so on and so forth. And like some people, well, maybe they believe him, and some people maybe they don't, right? And
sure, that's kind of the that's the way it is in those stories.
Right, right. And so his friend, who's a dog that doesn't want to be the dog, right? But his friend, well, he helps him. He's like a helper, you know, and he goes and helps him in the different things that he has to try to find out where these creatures is hiding and so on, right?
Sure.
So the dog, the part dog, he helps him.
But if he turns into a dog, does he turn into a bad guy?
Well, that's the whole thing. See, if his friend turns into a dog, well, he's a bad guy, right? And he's not going to help him. But if he's not the dog, if he's just part dog or all human, well, he can still help him. But if he's all dog, or even sometimes if he's part dog, well, he's going to, like, you know, hurt him. Or like tonight's show, they had one bloke, he turned into something like a cat or something, like a saber-toothed tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And he mauled this man. Really, the state of this man, when the police found him, the state of him was just ghastly.
They really ripped into him, huh?
Yeah, really ripped into him, right. So, anyway, that's...
So this police officer from Portland, so all of this takes place in the Northwest, huh?
Right, right. It's up in Portland, where there's a lot of trees, you know. It's got a nice fairy tale. I think the reason why they call why they did Portland is got a fairy tale feel to it. Right.
Yeah, lots of forests and stuff.
Right, a lot of forests and lots of like mountains, like misty mountains and all that, you know. So anyway.
Okay, Ian, that was a great report, man, and I'm going to look forward to that. And we'll have you looking into another show next week, huh?
Right, well, I'm not sure which one. You want me to look at New Girl?
No, why?
Well, because if you're going to be on this show, right?
Well, no, don't do New Girl just because I'm going to be on the show. I thought you did New Girl last year.
Well, I did, but I thought I'd do it again just to make sure that you know, not piss anybody off. Or I shouldn't say that, but, you know.
No, don't worry about it. We'll find a show. All right, Ian, little Ian Anderson. Thanks, buddy.
Right.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I could do a better job than him.
I like the way he did that, man. It was very clear. And he doesn't go off on a tangent. He answers my questions, and...
Yeah, he ain't too bright, though.
So he ain't too bright. You guys some kind of brain surgeons? Nobody's too bright on this show.
Yeah, well, you just said then you're dumb, too.
I never said I wasn't dumb. You kidding? This is the capital of dumb, this show. We'll be right back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show News and Information Hour. Grim, gotta watch it.
Woo!
Actually, I've never seen the show. Oh, I'm only kidding.
What?
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where we, what do we do? Oh, we have live streaming video of our show each and every night, so you can watch us online. You can watch us performing the show. You can also access our comments section if you have a backstage pass. You can access thousands of hours of archived radio shows going back over a decade. You can... partake of helping us assemble our best of, some of our best of downloads. We've got one now. We're putting together our best of Bobby Dooley, which will be available by the end of this month on our website. So with a backstage pass, all of that and more, and join us over there, won't you? Plus, we have a free podcast and radio station, if you will, of our own, philhendryradio.com. You can listen to us 24/7 from our archives over at philhendryradio.com and also download our latest podcast. So if you wonder, well, I'd like to get a backstage pass, but I want to hear more, head over to philhendryradio.com. And this week's podcast is what, Robert?
Yeah, the Milwaukee Lion.
the Milwaukee Lions, and it's the last of the Milwaukee Lion freebies, I think. I don't think they're going to be on the podcast anymore, but there's a whole new Milwaukee Lions season that'll be rolling out on this Sunday, starting with a preseason game against the Utah Flaming Cavalry. Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison on hand for the play-by-play, so don't miss that. All right. What else is happening here in this nutty, kooky kind of a world of ours? What a weekend for me, just from the standpoint of the sleep cycle. And those of you who are third shifters, you know what this is all about. I'm not exactly a third shifter, see?
But that means third shifter. It means I'm like working all night.
Yeah, it's working late night or working all night. And here's the thing about my life as a third shifter, if you will. When I say I'm not exactly, I don't work all night. I work until 1 a.m. But, and this is what makes life a little bit more difficult, let's say, than ordinarily. When I get off the air at 1 o'clock, I still have a number of things that I got to do. You know, I have I got to update the website in terms of the podcast. I have to make sure that I get in touch with our guys that are doing fulfillment. I have to make sure that I get in touch with a couple of our producers, our website producers, to make sure that they're updating other things on the website. Podcasts have to be sometimes produced. So there's a lot that I have to do, and I'm not complaining about any of it, but by the time I get to sleep some mornings, it's 4 or 5 a.m. Now, that's an all-nighter in and of itself, but then, like the other night, like, what was it, last night?
Yeah, man, you didn't go to bed at all last night.
Yeah, I didn't go to sleep at all. I mean, I was up just doing stuff, and by the time I looked around, man, the sun was coming up. And I still wasn't tired, so I didn't go to sleep today. And I say today, I say yesterday, that would be yesterday, Monday morning at 11 a.m., and I slept till about 5 o'clock. So I'm telling you, this is not good, man.
You know, you gotta get a good sleeping pill. Yeah, they don't have no good over-the-counter one.
They got one over-the-counter sleeping pill that I think is pretty good, Unisom. I think that works.
Nah, that's no good.
Well, I don't know what else I'm going to do, man, because my doctor, you know, good old Doc Emery, and he's a good doctor. He's not giving me any of that stuff, man. He won't give me Ambien. None of it.
No, he won't give you none of that. Why?
I don't know, because he probably thinks I'm going to freaking turn into a drug addict or something. But he will not prescribe that. He's given me all kinds of this, what is this jazz? what do you call it stuff? Herbal stuff?
Yeah, like that natural.
Herbal jazz. Some other thing that I'm not sure what it was. It was medicine, but it's something that has to do more with the functioning of the biochemistry of the body. It's not specifically a sleeping aid. It's like to help that part of the body that helps you sleep. Yeah, I mean, he's a good doctor, you know.
Yeah, but at one point he's got to give you something.
I mean, if I went to him and I said you got to give me something, doc, I'm sure he would, you know. So anyway, so this was the weekend, and so I got off the air on Friday night, and I slept until 5 o'clock Saturday, and then I slept until 5 o'clock on Sunday. That sucks, you know?
Man, you gotta find out a way to get around that.
I'll tell you what I gotta do. I gotta get the hell out of here again, man. I mean, I live and I work not more than a couple of blocks from each other. Where I live and where I work, 2 blocks away from each other. So I essentially live and work in the same square block. So it's like I live where I work. And the neighborhood around here, whether it's residential or whether it's business, reminds me of work a lot of times. You know, I had a friend of mine, Mitch, said to me, hey, man, why, you don't even have to take a vacation because where you live right at the beach.
Yeah, but that's work.
Exactly. You better believe it's work. So, I got to get the hell out of here, man. You know.
But there's still about moving to London.
Well, I mean, I was only half kidding, but I was on Twitter this weekend, and I said, I don't know if you guys saw the closing. I was very impressed with these Olympics. I just was. And I haven't been in London in over 20 years, and when I saw the city again watching these Olympics, I got very nostalgic, you know, and remembered fondly the days that I spent there and the time that I spent there. And I was on Twitter this weekend saying, I'm moving to London. That's all there is to it. I want to go someplace where, you know, people give a crap.
Yeah, what's that mean?
I don't know. It's just what I said. but I, yeah, you know, I just felt like it was, it'd be a change of pace because I just feel like I'm stuck in this rut, working and living in the same place. Margaret Gray joining us from Santa Monica. You lived and worked in London, didn't you, Margaret?
I did, Bill. After Frank and I got married, when we were separated briefly, which I've told you about, back in the early 90s, I was over there and I was living with my sister, Karen.
Now, what does Karen do?
Well, Karen was working for a bank over there. She went to the business school over there, a very prestigious business school, the London School of Economics. You know the London School of Economics?
Yes, it is very prestigious.
She went there. She graduated from the London School, and I think she went to work for Barclays. But while she was there, I went, and Frank and I separated. It was before Jason J. Delmonico was married, was born, I should say. My goodness, isn't that a Freudian slip?
Yeah, before Jason J. Delmonico was married. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know. It's Freudian. It's psychological. It's something.
What'd you say?
I said I lived in London not before Jason J. was born, but...
Before she was married, I heard that.
Yes, before he got married. And he's not married. He's 14. Anyway, Phil, make a long story short. I was in London, and I loved it. I loved it deeply. I loved it madly. We clubbed. We went to all the different places, Stringfellows. We went to all the shows, all of the things that were happening at that time, you know. And, of course, it's a decidedly different scene now.
But they still have the dance clubs and the...
Well, they still have the cabarets and the different night spots, but... I think it would be a great move for you to go to London to become more cosmopolitan, because I think that you can live, even Los Angeles gets to be so hick, you know.
What do you mean by hick?
Well, I think there's parts of L.A. that are just hick. I mean, real, real redneck. And
like where?
Well, you know, I mean, it's just where you grew up and where you're living now, up there at the Ventura County line and out there in the sand. You have found yourself, Phil, and I didn't want to say this.
Somehow I knew this was going to get said.
Yeah, you said it before.
Would you tell him to shut up, please?
Bud, please.
God almighty.
Yeah, you said it before.
Okay, I said it before. Big discovery. Yes, I did say it before, Phil. Where you grew up and where you live now, I've got to tell you, you gravitate to some of the most thick areas of this city that I've ever seen in my life. I'm not exactly sure what that's about, and I'm reluctant to judge.
Well, it's all right. I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley of Los Angeles, and for those of you who are not familiar, it's a pretty old part of the suburban Los Angeles environment. There was the... You think of the San Fernando Valley, but it is true that was basically unpopulated. It wasn't part of the city.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't grow up on a farm.
No, I grew up in the burbs.
Yeah, but it's real redneck, real, real right wing. Real right wing.
That I won't argue with.
All right. Now guess where you live. You live up on the county line there, L.A. Ventura. Now there's a lot of surfing, and there's a nice beach, and there's all this. But guess what? Here's that problem again. Real, real, real reactionary and right wing. What's your problem? You know. And
what do you mean, what's my problem?
Well, I'm not saying you're doing it on purpose, Phil, but you're... Frank wants to say something.
How you doing, young man?
I'm good, Frank. How are you?
Look, I'm better than Custer, but he's talking about the right-wingers you're living around out there. You know, you live up there on the Ventura County line, and there's nothing but these real extreme rightists. You remember when they used to have the fairy fair?
Yeah, it wasn't the fairy fair. It was called the...
They had that fairy tale fair. What the hell they call it, Phil, up there?
Fairy tale fair?
Yes, they had a fairy tale. It was a bunch of...
Oh, the Renaissance.
Yeah, the Renaissance. You remember the Renaissance fair?
Yeah.
All right. I represented some of the vendors because the right-wingers up there wanted to throw these fairy balls out of there. I told that one guy, I forget her name, she was the on the board of supervisors, John Flynn, okay? You remember her?
Yeah, well, he's still on the board of supervisors.
All right. So I said to her, I said, look, what do you need? And she said, I want the hell out of here. Get all these fruit balls, wrap them all up. I don't care what you do with them. You can drop them in the Pacific Ocean, but we don't need all of these
these fairy ball, the fairy, you know, and
he called the Renaissance Fair, Frank, the Renaissance Fair.
I try to tell him I don't know what the hell it's called. All I know is I was hired to represent some of the vendors. So I mean, like a long story short, you know, I said to this guy Flynn, I told her, I'll get them out the hell out of your backyard, but you keep your paws off from here on out. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. So you got the Renaissance Fair moved out of Ventura County.
Right. Okay, so...
So big deal. So nice job. So now there's more right-wingers out here than ever before.
Well, it kept Flynn from getting her hands on all these fairy tale people. See?
Well, that's great.
But, you think I'm a sellout or something?
Didn't exactly do anybody any favors, Frank.
Oh, the bull crap I did.
Okay, Frank and Margaret, thank you. I got to take a break. The fairy ball people.
Yeah, like the Cinderella fairy ball.
Anyway, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. It was called the Renaissance Fair. Anybody remember that?
No, I don't.
They had it out in the Ventura County, L.A. County area. All right, we'll be right back. They have them all over the place. They got every city's got one of these things. It's the world famous. What are you looking at?
What is it?
You dress up like you're King Arthur or something. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's Elizabethan. It's Elizabethan. Hey, Henry.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Friend of yours, Glenn, right?
Glenn's a friend of Ian.
Well, we'll get him on here in a minute. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here as we talk about the issues of the day. It's our news and information hour. We did a whole couple of hours on Paul Ryan. We're not going to do any more on that. Terrible news from Texas A&M, where there was a shooting over the weekend. Three people were killed just after noon on Monday. Well, this was not this weekend. This was today, or yesterday, I should say, Monday. Brazos County Constable Brian Bachman embarked on a seemingly routine chore, serving an eviction notice in a pleasant neighborhood a few blocks from Texas A&M. And so it was not on campus, but so this man was serving an eviction notice, which is what the sheriffs oftentimes do. But a man at the house on Fidelity Street opened fire, killing Constable Bachman. It triggered a 30-minute shootout with police that left the gunman and a bystander dead in an outbreak of violence that shocked this serene college town. Police killed the gunman, but not before he shot and killed a 43-year-old man and wounded a 55-year-old woman. An officer responded to a 911 call about the constable was wounded in the leg. During confused and chaotic early reports, fears arose that College Station would join Aurora and Oak Creek, Wisconsin, in the latest spasm of shooting rampages by lone gunmen. Texas A&M issued a code maroon warning on its website stating that an active shooter was in the area. And people were talking about how surreal this is, and there's no question, guys, you know, that when an event like this takes place, Aurora, I think you have to automatically assume that an unbalanced mind, a psychotic mind, or a mind that is abnormal, like a psychopathic mind, will act out, because those minds embrace these pieces of reality as a way of expressing control over the environment. If you're a psychopath, all you want is control. If you're psychotic, you're praying for control, because your whole freaking world, every time you turn around, there's maybe a munchkin here and a talking statue over there, and your mind is gone. So, I mean, I can't lend anything to this dialogue other than, I mean, there's a lot I got to say, but we already said it. The Aurora, Colorado event, that shooting, what more are you going to say, you know? But I'll say something here that I don't think has been said, and that is, if one of these things happens, unbalanced minds look at it and embrace it as a some kind of a logical course of action. You know,
they talk about like if a guy's crazy and he sees about somebody shooting something.
Yes. So when Aurora happened, we probably should have automatically said, somewhere out there, there's a psychotic or a psychopathic brain that's at work that's going to take a look at these events and see them as a course of action in controlling their reality. So we should have said there's going to be another shooting somewhere. And maybe there were. I mean, we don't talk about that stuff necessarily in the talk radio world because, you know, it's considered perhaps, well, maybe it's not so much irresponsible as it's just a drag, you know?
Yeah, but you could let people know.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, man, I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't think of it. Now I'm thinking about it, you know.
Maybe there was a guy out there that did.
I don't know. There could have been some people out there on the radio that were saying, you know, there's going to be another one. But it's a pretty logical thing to expect. And this article I'm reading here about Texas automatically just kicked into place for me because it said in the latest spate of violent shootings that have rocked the country, you know, in the latest spasm, it said, of shooting rampages by lone gunmen that have rocked our country. So they always do come in these groups, it seems. There's one, there's another, and it's because out there in the world there's a damaged brain or an abnormal brain looking at it and saying, aha, that's I'm gonna do that. You know.
Yeah, but why don't they say something like, oh, look at that, man. A guy got a guy graduated from college.
What?
What are you talking about? It sounds idiotic.
No, it's not idiotic. I'm saying, why don't they act out on that?
Are you an idiot or something? They're not going to go to school. Oh, I'm crazy. I know. I'm going to act out and go to school and get a degree. You're an idiot.
But don't call people names. It doesn't sound like something that a psychotic person is looking for shortcuts because his brain is a freaking mess, man. And a psychopath is looking for immediate gratification. Because his abnormal view of life is, I gotta control things, you know? So the last thing those two guys are gonna do is embark on some get a college degree, because that's gonna be their way of controlling life. I mean, they wouldn't be crazy, you know? They wouldn't be nuts, or they wouldn't be abnormal.
What do you mean abnormal?
Because I don't call psychopaths crazy. They're not. They're abnormal. Anyway, it's pretty surreal, said one of the people that lives around there, Nicole McMurr, a Texas A&M junior. She said a few hours after all of this went down, police identified the gunman as Thomas Kafal. He's 35 years of age, and they said they knew of no motive. Kafal appeared to have no serious criminal record. According to court records, in 2006, he pled no contest to driving with a suspended driver's license. A man listed as Thomas Kafal on Facebook wrote that he was from Bryan, Texas, and lived in adjacent College Station. The profile photo appears to be of a man shown in Kafal's driver's license photo, which police released. Kafal's wall photos include snapshots of guns. Just picked it up today. Can't wait to try it out on the range, he posted on June 7, 2011.
Yeah, see? That guy's a gun nut. That don't mean anything.
Bud, what are you, crazy? I mean, look. I can introduce you to people that have guns. I can tell you about people that have guns. Even people who put pictures of guns up. They're not nuts. This is wrong, man, to say, aha, see, this guy had a wall of photos of guns on his Facebook page, therefore jacked up. Kafal wrote in 2011 on May 13th, I just got a new toy. It's a Russian Mosin Nagant. I'll be at the gun range as much as I can. Cat like guns. But he also liked Forrest Gump and Jack Kerouac. He said that's who he was, Forrest Gump and Jack Kerouac, on the road permanently. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Who's that? Jack Kerouac.
The writer.
What kind?
Just the writer. He's a freak. He's a beatnik.
Yeah, that's what did a man. It's time to be a beatnik.
Yeah, that's it, man. He was a beatnik. That's what drove him.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know why this kind of stuff is interesting to me, but I've always wondered about attempts at democracy in countries where the military has been really strong and there is absolutely, there is nowhere near the tradition that we have here of a civilian-controlled, a civilian-led military. You know, it's...
What do you mean?
we have a commander-in-chief that's a civilian, the president, okay? And the military is funded by the Congress, and the military draws from, obviously, all militaries draw from the people, but our military gets it, and it would take an extreme break with tradition. It would take a criminal break with tradition that I don't think anyone in the American with an American military mindset would ever really consider. I'm sure there would be some that would consider it, but it would never ever take off as a movement in our military because it's anathema to the thinking of the United States military to stage a coup. You know,
that's when a military takeover.
Oh, is that what a coup is? I was wondering what a coup was.
Yeah, that's what a coup is. It's when the military takes over, okay? Or a coup can be actually anything that is a violent, or it can be any change in the power or the leadership of a country that is extra legal or illegal.
What's extra legal mean?
Bud.
God, man, don't you know nothing?
I don't know what extra legal mean.
Beyond the law, okay? Beyond the law. Breaking the law, beyond the law, extra legal, you know, it's illegal. So I've always wondered about these countries, like Egypt is a great example. Egypt trying to establish a democratic tradition, and they have a military there that has ruled the roost, man. You could not lead that country unless you had the support of the military. It's probably very equally true in Iran. I don't think there's a dictatorship anywhere in the world, a totalitarian form of government, an autocratic form of government anywhere in the world that doesn't need the military.
But don't America need the military?
America needs the military to defend America. But I don't think the military in this country is stronger than the will of the American people. Now, I know they have the guns, and I know they have the soldiers.
Yeah, that's all that counts.
Well, hold on. But the will of the American people is such, and the military in this country is so married to the civilian world in this country. They're just inextricably linked that there's no way that kind of thinking could, I don't think, and I, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it would take a lot for that kind of thinking to take root in an American military that is so linked to the civilian world. For people to join the U.S. military, your mind is coming from a democratic tradition of just where the power is in this country. And for some guy in the U.S. military to say, oh, I think I'm going to stage a coup, you'd have to be some kind of stinking commie, you know?
Yeah, man, you'd be like a Nazi or something.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't be American. You'd be some kind of a freak. In any event, here is why I bring all that bull crap up, man, because I'm looking at Egypt. Now, here's a country that's very interesting. They just had an election. All kinds of bull crap around that election, as you well know. Oh, well, it wasn't fair, this, that. Now, the president there, Mohamed Morsi, has purged Egypt's top generals. He found that there was a great deal of demoralization. There was cronyism. There was a lack of promotion opportunity. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the military. And here's what he did. He didn't just fire the top generals in the Egyptian military. He went a step further. He leaned on, and I'm quoting directly the New York Times article, he leaned on support from the junior officers, meaning he didn't alienate the entire military by firing all these slobs that were running the Egyptian military into the ground, and in the process providing a very bad example of leadership for the country. He embraced the military, but it's junior officer corps.
So he fired a bunch of old guys.
Yeah.
You could say that he fired a bunch of old guys. He leaned on the support of junior officers that blamed the old guard for a litany of problems within the military and for involving the armed forces too deeply in the country's politics after the uprising that ousted Mr. Morsi's predecessor, Hosni Mubarak. In an interview, so what he did was he embraced that part of the Egyptian military that is a more democratically minded. They don't want any piece of the politics. They're a younger officer corps. They understand what their role is. They're the military. They are the defense of the country. They are the soldiers that go to war for the country. They don't run the bloody politics of the country. In an interview, one ranking officer said the military had grown increasingly demoralized because of meager salaries, growing confusion over the role of its leaders. Those complaints crystallized last week after gunmen killed 16 soldiers in the northern Sinai Peninsula, causing embarrassment throughout the ranks. The military didn't change, said the officer, a unit commander who was not authorized to speak to reporters and requested anonymity. Give me equipment to work. You can't give me ruined cars, 100 soldiers, and ask me to secure 30 square kilometers in the desert. The changing of the guard left an uncertain landscape. The balance of power has apparently shifted to Mr. Morsi with the powerful Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, which had been running the country since the revolution last year, unsettled but still firmly in place. But on Monday, a day after the general's ouster, there was no signs that the military was mobilizing in protest. That led many analysts to suspect the president had reached an accommodation with a new generation of military leaders who were seeking to restore the armed forces' credibility, enhance their own positions, and preserve the military's privileged and protected place in society.
What's that mean?
Well, it means they want to be a military that is valued. They also don't want to be involved in politics. I mean, I don't think there's a whole big difference in the feelings of the Egyptian, at least these Egyptian officers, than from the United States military. You know, give us a little bit of respect here. We go out and we die for this country, if you don't mind. But we got no interest in being politically involved. It's still very, very new, and it's still a very young process. But as they said, there were no signs the military was mobilizing in protest, and he sacked a lot of top-ranking guys. On Sunday, Mr. Morsi forcibly retired the country's defense minister, Field Marshal Mohammed Hussein Tantawi, and the Army Chief of Staff, Sami Hafez Inan. The heads of the Air Force, Navy, and Air Defense were also forced into retirement. Since the purge, Egyptians have desperately sought clues about whether the shakeup would begin a new period of conflict between the military and Mr. Morsi, a former leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. Changing those leaders was smart for Morsi, the officer said. He waited for the right timing when the country had already taken steps along the right path. Whether or not he struck a bargain with younger officers, he might have enhanced his credibility with political forces outside the Brotherhood who had clamored for an end to military rule. At the same time, he could gain a degree of loyalty from a cast of officers who owe their new prominence to him. So this may be the beginning of a break from that military dictatorship tradition and that military autocracy. And it's also kind of, I know there's a whole bunch of really fancy schmancy stuff here.
No, I think it's pretty cool. I don't understand it, but I'm listening to be polite.
Thank you very much, bud. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, I don't want to be yelling at me.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, because a lot of people were yelling last week.
Okay, fine. Let me finish here. So what he did was...
Yeah, they did it.
Shut up. I knew you were going to do that.
I'm kidding.
So what he did was he might have even laid out a blueprint for how it can be done. Let's face it. There's only one direction for the world to go in. There's only one direction. And it's clearer and clearer with every passing day. And that is the direction of democracy and the voice of the people all over the world. Wherever you go, that's what people want. We're all done with the whole commie thing. The autocratic dictatorship, the monarchy, all that bull crap, that ain't working. That Iranian religious theocratic revolution, horse dung. We saw what they had to do to their own people, back in 09 when the green wave was sweeping the country and they had to take it down violently. There's only one direction, and that's the democratic direction. And these militaries that don't get it, these military dictatorships, if your mind is to slaughter your own people, well, I guess there's nobody going to stop you until they stop you, you know. But you guys are not going to last. You cats don't. That's not the direction of the world. So if you're in a military force that is a part of some power sharing or you believe you can control a country, your days are numbered, man. And I'll tell you, I think the Egyptian military, at least these guys, saw it.
Yeah, they probably thought, man, they asked me out in front of a firing squad, man. Yeah, like the one we saw that one time.
The one we saw that one time.
Those movies you was watching?
Oh, yeah, we were looking at firing squad stuff. That's kind of sick.
You know, I shouldn't tell people that. They're going to think you're sick.
They already know I'm sick. We were looking at some movies, and it was military stuff. It wasn't grotesque. They were shooting Nazis. So what do you want from me, huh?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Anyway, So, yeah. So, the Egyptian Junior Corps, to me, this stuff is really interesting. I'll probably wind up reading a book about it. I'll probably wind up going on and on about it during our pre-show, and I will probably wind up talking about it on the show, and people will go, huh? But that's just me. All right. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhenryshow.com. A couple of things to remind you about. We have the Best of Bobby Dooley coming out this month. That'll be a download available to you. You don't even have to be a Backstage Pass member to buy it, but you do have to be a Backstage Pass member to assemble it. And we're asking our BSPs to vote by way of the BSP email tab on our website on your favorite Bobby Dooley bit. And then we will tally the votes, and we will come up with the best Bobby Dooley bits, and it will be the Best of Bobby Dooley as a download for sale in our shop very, very soon. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's
Truth
Tuesday morning.
Is our bitch.
We're already
Phil Henry
Monday.
Show.
Yay! 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 Yeah! Ow!
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, if you're looking at Phil TV in HD, I've put up on the screen our homepage, our Phil Henry Show homepage. And what that is it's kind of, I've kind of been having fun lately.
That's Captain Crunch.
Yes, it's Captain Crunch, but it's Captain Crunch that I blended into a picture that I took in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. That's a photograph. And then I put that photograph through a program called Photogene, which turns any photograph, it can turn a photograph into an oil painting.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, man. But is it what?
It's like an oil painting. See how that was a photograph?
Yeah, that's a painting.
It's a photograph. Are you listening to what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, but it looks like a painting.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Listen to what he's saying, man. Sorry.
It's a photograph that I put through a photo program, a thing called Photogene, that turned it into an oil painting. Okay?
Oh.
Then I took Captain Crunch and I blended his ass into that.
Looks like he's standing in the water.
Yeah, so it sort of looks like he's standing in the water. Doesn't look exactly like it. Now, why did I do that? I have no idea.
What?
Don't worry about it, bud. I just did it for kicks. Because people do Instagram, and I do a lot of Instagram, and I decided that I would do an Instagram picture like that. I don't know, you know.
People are thinking you're kind of crazy, though, man.
Why?
Yeah, because you have one of the Instagram pictures you put, you had a hipster dancing at an Adolf Hitler house.
Yeah, well, that's my thing, man. I like to take, excuse me, I like to take weird-ass pictures. And I like to make stuff out of them. I don't know. What do you want? What do you want from me?
Yeah, but a lot of people think you're flipped out.
If they think I'm flipped, well, what? They thought I was sane before? Are you out of your mind? I mean, my thing is, like, I took that one picture. I'll tell you the one that got everybody pissed off. I took a picture of the Kardashians, and it was all of them.
Yeah, that's the one everybody's talking about.
Okay, I took a picture of the Kardashians, and it was a group family photo. With all of them, man. Even some Kardashians that I didn't even know existed. I mean, there's some that come out of the woodwork, you know.
Like who?
I don't know who they are. I know the one Courtney and all, you know, the ones that are on TV. I know them, and I know Bruce Jenner. I know the mother, but there's some that I don't know. But anyway, there's a whole and Robert Kardashian. Is he one?
No, that was a dad.
Yeah. Well, isn't there a junior? Yeah, I think there is. Anyway. So I took this group photo of the Kardashians, and I put them in heaven.
Yeah, that's because Jesus was there, too. That's why people got pissed off.
So Jesus was there. So what, man? I mean, my whole thing was this. You don't know who's going to heaven. We don't know. If we're supposedly leaving all of this up to God, which is what we do, right? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, it's supposed to. God's the only one.
Okay, if God's the only one, it's possible the Kardashians will wind up all going to heaven. How do I know, man? So that was the point of making that picture. So I made this picture of the Kardashians going to hell. Oh, my God, people, you would have thought I had Hitler walking into heaven, you know?
Well, yeah, but it's the same thing, man.
How's it the same? Are you nuts?
How's that the same thing? Kardashian didn't put no people in a gas chamber. Well, but I mean,
what are you crazy? How could you possibly compare them to Hitler?
A lot of people don't like him, though.
So they don't like him, man. It's a ridiculous thing to compare to Hitler. God.
Yeah, but a lot of people, I mean, if you think about what Kim Kardashian did on a dead animal.
On a dead animal? What is she talking about?
She? Yeah, would you call me she?
What are you talking about?
She puts on dead animal clothes.
Oh, get out of here, man. Is that anti-fur bull crap? That's whatever, man, okay? I mean...
Yeah, but a lot of people think that like Hitler.
If there's anybody in America, if there's anybody in the world that thinks the Kardashians wearing fur is the same as what Hitler did, they should be put back in kindergarten. I mean, they should be sent off every day to a kindergarten class, not allowed to go out and earn a living, not allowed to go out and interact with adults, not allowed to go anywhere but to the kindergarten class with their lunch in a bag, take their nap time, do their clay figures, and then take the bus home and repeat it every day for the entire school year.
You think they ought to go back to kindergarten?
Yes. Anybody that engages in that kind of rhetoric, it deserves to go back to kindergarten. That's the most asinine thing in the history of the world. I understand there's people that are flipped out about the fur thing. I get it. You know, it's a reasonable argument either way, because here's the thing. Man comes from thousands and thousands and thousands of years of wearing animal fur, and all of a sudden now, because there's not one or two, but there's a handful of people that think they're so smart, and they're so evolved, and they're so much better than everybody else, that now it's time for us to stop wearing animal furs. And anybody that does is a murderer. I think you are. Look, I'm the world's... I support Save the Seals, the sea lions, all what those bastards up there in Canada doing with those little baby seals, man.
Yeah, so how come you support that?
Because that's pointless, man. It's pointless to kill a little baby seal for some stupid ass's coat, okay? What they're doing in Canada, those seals, makes no sense. That's the Canadian equivalent of keeping an industry alive through subsidy that nobody wants to see remain. Nobody is buying that crap. Nobody wants seal skins. Nobody wants it. But the seal guys up there, they're all, hey, you know, what's the federal government going to do to us, eh? You know?
But is that how they talk?
Yeah. I'm going to belt you. I swear to God. So, you know, but the fact that there may be some fur trade going on in this country because it keeps you extra warm or whatever and people aren't all that educated, all right. I mean, let's talk about it. Let's sit down. And I don't want to see animals suffer. But I'll tell you this. Calling those, it's comparing them to Hitler. You see how you got sucked into that, Robert?
Yeah, Robert, just because you like Kim Kardashian's butt. Shut up, man. Oh, I never said nothing about her butt. Yeah, you did.
All right, okay. We can reasonably expect that people like some guys like Kim Kardashian's butt. Okay?
Yeah, that ain't the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, though. Yeah, I don't want is. I don't want to see no animal dead.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here, Robert? I'm saying that, yeah, we can debate it. That don't make them Hitler, man.
Yeah, well, I just think it's bad. Yeah, don't make him like Hitler, like Phil said. Yeah, why don't you just repeat something else he said, like last half hour, man? You can write it all down. No, you're the one.
Will you guys shut up before I start swinging again? Look at this. I wrecked my news. WFSB's Face the State. What the hell was that? I don't know. All right, guys, that is the end of that, man. The beginning of Monday's out of the way. Does it feel good or what? Yes, it does. This is Tuesday a.m., now, I know many of you are waiting around for your morning drive show in your local market. And, David G has got something to talk to me about today, man. I don't know what it is. I'm going to have to give him a call. Also, don't forget that we're getting up on the end of the month. So if you're a BSP, get in your Bobby Dooley vote. Next week, next Sunday, starting at 12 noon, it will be the first preseason game of the Milwaukee Lions. They take on the Utah Flaming Cavalry from the Beaver Dome in Salt Lake City, which is where they're going to have the Dickman Bowl, bud.
Yeah, he named it after me. How come they named it after him? Because they wanted to.
Anyway, they did, Robert. The Dickman Bowl, which is emblematic of championship of the Phil Henry Hillbilly Football Conference, preseason starting this coming Sunday, and you can catch the action on Phil TV, the audio only of the game with Jack Igagder and Brett Morrison. Until tonight. Tonight at 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.